Blog Talk Radio.
Our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. It is our light, not our darkness, that most frightens us. Your playing small does not serve the world. There is nothing enlightened about shrinking so that other people won't feel insecure around you. We were all meant to shine as children do. It's not just in some of us, it's in everyone. And as we let our own light shine, we unconsciously give other people permission to do the same, as we are liberated from our own fear. Our presence automatically liberates others.
Good afternoon and welcome to Peace Talks on Now Time Radio. This is your host, Audrey Scott Williams. I am honored today because we have an opportunity to talk about peace. Not only is this our normal peace conversation, but today on Now Time Radio, we are engaged in a week-long of activity that began actually on September 14th with a message from our elder, Baba Credo Mutwa from South Africa, and has continued all week as we talk about the upcoming International Day of Peace. Well, as you know, I am the vision keeper for the Trail of Dreams World Peace Walk, the 13 Moon Walk for Peace, the Respectful Mother Earth Walk out of Washington, and many walks to come, I am sure. But the most important thing for me is that bringing all that we've gotten together within ourselves as a result of intentional peace, being engaged in intentional peace, that we now have an opportunity to share that with the world. And we're sharing that with our footprints around the world for peace. And in our footprints around the world for peace, our vision is that we are engaging communities around the world. And I think we may have a little bit of an echo, and I think I just fixed that. We are engaging communities around the world to join us in creating a combined experience of peace on Saturday, September 21st. And with the footprints around the world for peace, we're looking specifically at the time zone from 12 to 1. While that many programs are happening all over the world all day long, what we really want to focus on is at 12 to 1 that we combine our energies in meditation, prayer, song, dance for that 1 hour to amplify the collective energies that we're all putting in towards the International Day of Peace. So what we've been doing all week and will continue the rest of the week is highlighting what we call our peace partners around the world and the activities that they're going to be doing. And as I said before, most of them are all day. So the first shout-out I want to give is to our Williamsport, Pennsylvania community, where we will be doing a walk for peace there. And then we will be coming together to do a prayer and listening to the bells as they ring to signify both the beginning and ending. And so we're very excited that Karen Watson, myself, and Tony Sheena will be in Williamsport, Pennsylvania. So again, this is your host, Audrey Scott Williams, on Now Time Radio. This is Peace Talks, and welcome to your peace station, if we will. Let's call it that, peace station, because that's all we do. We want to inspire humanity. We want to inspire the consciousness of the world to uplift us all so that we create a better world. And the best way we know to do that is to go deep within and pull forward all that is within us and rest in the knowing that within us is the spark of creation, the spark of all possibility. And that the more we go inside, the more we get connected to that, and the more we can affect peace in the world around us. Today, we have with us our peace partners from ISHA Foundation in Tennessee. We have Allison Murray and Solani Arora. And I'd like to thank Joyce Fortune for connecting us. I am so excited to know more about the various things that are going on there in terms of the emphasis on meditation. We have found that that's so important as we go from community to community. It's not what you find in a community. It's what you find in that community of your inner self and what you can bring just by showing up connected to that knowing. So I'd like to welcome at this time Allison Murray and Solani Arora. Welcome to Peace Talks on Now Time Radio.
Thank you, Audrey.
Thanks, Audrey.
We're very happy to be with you.
Well, thank you, and I apologize for a little technical glitch in the beginning, but I think we got it all together now. Tell me about, let's talk about Isha first, because I'd like to make sure that our listening audience has an opportunity to know more about the foundation, what you're doing there, and how they can be a part of that. So, Allison, would you like to begin?
Sure. Isha Foundation is an international nonprofit organization. We have centers both here and in India. Our center here is about 7 years old. Our founder, Sadhguru, though, has been coming to the U.S. for the last 15, 16 years, offering programs in classical yoga and meditation. So we're a yoga and meditation center, and our retreat center here in Tennessee is a 1,200-acre retreat in nature, and we offer programs every month in all types of yoga. One thing that's unique about our center is that we offer all the aspects of yoga under one roof. So Hatha Yoga, which people are most familiar with, which is the physical practice of the poses and the Surya Namaskar, but we also offer Kriya and meditation.
Okay, and Allison, I understand that you are the community outreach person, coordinator there for Isha Foundation. Can you tell us how those who are interested can connect with the work that you're doing? I know you have a website and all of that. Can you give the website information as well as the phone number?
Sure. Our website here in the U.S. is ishausa.org. And our website for the upcoming event that we'll speak about in a moment is worldpeaceday.org.
Okay.
Our phone number Our phone number here is 931-668-1900. That's a number that goes to our main office.
Okay. Well, thank you so much. And Solani Arora, you're the student outreach coordinator. Tell us a little bit about your journey. And I understand that you are doing a year-long volunteer commitment at Isha Foundation this year. Could you tell me from your perspective and reaching out to young people, students around the world, what does this experience mean for you, and what are you engaged in at this time?
Sure, yeah. So I graduated from college in December of last year, 2012, and I have been involved with Isha Yoga, practicing the practices. I took my first class at the children's yoga class when I was about 12 years old. So, and then when I was 15, I took the adult class called Inner Engineering, and since then I've been practicing that meditation daily. And after practicing it for so many years, I kind of realized the significance of what it was adding to my life, especially as a young student, knowing how to just stay calm and have a... I didn't deal with so many self-esteem issues as I saw many people around me were dealing with, and the amount of stress that I experienced was dramatically less than everyone else around me, and I could just see that, and I attributed that to the yoga that I was practicing daily.
I was just going to say that I'm always interested in how young people connect with young people to pass this energy and this message forward, because I can't imagine that our young people today are faced with so much, and so to have ways that they can incorporate to help them deal with the world is so important.
Absolutely. I totally agree, and I feel so lucky that, you know, my family introduced me to this at such a young age. I feel like as I went through high school and college, it was just so much easier. I was just able to flow through those two transitions very easily and with a sense of joy as opposed to a sense of stress and burden that I saw in a lot of other people experiencing, you know, dealing with drugs and relationships. Of course, I was, I saw everything or it was happening around me. It's not that I, like, totally stayed away from everything, but it didn't impact me in a way, in a negative way. It didn't become an addiction or anything ever. It was never something that I saw as a need in my life, using any outside sources for my well-being, for my peace, for my joy. That came instead through my own breathing and meditation, just for myself.
Yeah, and what's so powerful about that, whether you're a young person or an elder, as myself, what's so powerful about that is we can go through life thinking that all the answers are out there. And what I found that medicine does is brings us inside, and we begin to realize that the answers are truly inside. And that brings so much peace, you know?
Absolutely. So the program that I took was called actually Inner Engineering. So it basically did just engineer my inside so that whatever the situation is externally or on the outside, I had a tool, this 21-minute meditation tool called Shambhavi Mahamudra. This is my tool to creating my insides, engineering my insides how I wanted. So it was, it's just invaluable,
And Allison, I have one more question I'd like to direct at you, and then I want to talk about the great World Day activity, Peace Day activity that will be going on at Isha Foundation this Saturday. But I, as I was reading more about you, I was very caught by the combination of the scientific, technical background that you bring to yoga and meditation. Could you talk about that? How do those worlds come together, and how did that bring you to where you are today?
Sure. Yeah, I always had a fascination from very early in my life. I remember being 3 or 4 years old and kind of wondering, you know, what powered the ants? What makes the worms crawl? I wanted to know what the, I had this sense that there was an energy behind life. I couldn't have spoken it that way, but I always had that sense, and I was enamored with it. And as I got older, that manifested as studies in science of various kinds, and I got particularly interested in biology because I was so enamored with life. And so I studied biology. I also studied psychology. I had I was also fascinated by how the mind functions and how the mind interacts with the body. And it was only a little bit later that I realized that there's another dimension, too, that I was really seeking that fit with these both, more of a spiritual dimension. And that came a little bit later. An evolution for me to explore the sciences and be fascinated by what I could see through a microscope, and at the same time realize that that's not all there is, that there's something else also. And that's how I got into yoga and meditation when I was about maybe 28. I started doing hatha yoga. I had certain meditative experiences kind of on my own. They just kind of spontaneously happened. And once that happened, actively seeking a form of meditation that could take me there on a regular, consistent basis was on. I began to really look for something that I could, a tool that I could become meditative in my daily life, not just kind of spontaneously here and there, certain experiences happening. And that's how I came across Sadhguru. That's how I got involved with meditation. Once I got a taste of the meditations he was offering, I knew this was the real thing. And I've been meditating for the last 11 years. So it's been a fun, it's been a wonderful journey, a fun journey, and I would never, even though it's taken me a long time to kind of find what I truly was looking for, I would never regret exploring the sciences because it gave me such a broad experience of perspective, really.
Right. You know, Allison, we have a program that we work with young people called Beyond the Global Divide. It's a global component of our organization. And one of the young people in an interview or sort of a conversation once said that, you know, I don't understand why people say that there's a time when they're spiritual. He said, because if you're saying I'm spiritual, then that means you're saying there's a time when I'm not. And that when we're in the realm of our spiritual work, that it really encompasses all of that. And so as I'm listening to you, I'm reminded of that, and which was one of the reasons I wanted to ask this question. I had a sort of ulterior motive, but I wanted to bring out to those who may be listening and thinking that their life has to be this way when they're talking about spirituality, or that way when they feel that they're not, in truth, it's one flow, it's one circle, and whether we're in science and technology or performance-based, any of that, wherever we are in our life, we are, it is who we are as spirit beings, and so that when we learn practices that we can incorporate that allow us to get more and more centered in that, we can bring the best of who and what we are to all situations. So thank you for your response. Let's talk about this Saturday. Wow, I was reading the press release that you have, and it sounds very, very exciting. If I didn't have a prior commitment in Pennsylvania, I would definitely be there, and perhaps a part of me will be there. But who would like to start by giving us an overview of what's going to happen on World Peace Day there, and who your special guests are going to be, and how our listening audience can tap into that? Did you want to begin,
Absolutely.
Allison?
I'll begin about that.
Okay, Selani.
So we're really excited to host this area's first World Peace Day celebration in honor of the United Nations International Day of Peace. They've commemorated September 21st to be the International Day of Peace, so we're celebrating this occasion alongside them. So we are preparing for the event right now. We have a lot of exciting things planned, including Arianna Huffington from the Huffington Post will be attending our event as our keynote speaker, and she'll be discussing the topic of peace. She has written and talked about wellness in the workplace very much, and how reduced stress atmosphere can increase happiness and efficiency, and how important it is to maintain peace to make that happen. So both she and the founder of Isha Foundation, Sadhguru, will be discussing this topic of inner and outer peace. Also, we're excited to host the Mowglis, a popular band from California. They'll be performing in the evening, kind of closing the event, and a live concert. They'll be performing their most popular song you may have heard is called San Francisco. So we're excited to have them as well. We have a lot of other things planned as well, including interfaith performances from a Buddhist group, an Islam group, a Hindu group, and a Christian group. We are excited also to have the many local dignitaries from McMinnville come and attend the event. We have a couple different student-oriented things happening at the World Peace Day celebration. As you probably know, younger people tend to have kind of a fresh approach at tackling age-old problems or issues. So we're kind of giving a couple opportunities for students to express their ideas and their visions of how to make world peace a reality, or what their ideas might be, and how it kind of affects them in their daily lives, and what it is that's why it's important to them. So for that, we have a student peace panel where students will be discussing different topics. It'll be moderated, as well as a chance for students to perform a song which inspires peace within them. Additionally, we are inviting three world-renowned thought leaders to have a panel discussing peace amongst themselves. Sandy Tolan from NPR, Kathleen Koch, who's a former CNN correspondent, and Elizabeth Lindsay from the National Geographic will also be attending this World Peace Day celebration in McMinnville, Tennessee on September 21st, and they'll be discussing the topic of peace as well.
Selani, as I looked at your schedule online, now are you celebrating through the 23rd? World Peace Day, are you going through the 20th, is it the 21st through the 23rd, or is everything happening on the 21st?
It's all happening on the 21st. The World Peace Day celebration will start around 10:30 a.m. and end about 7 p.m. Central Standard Time.
Okay, now will there be any part of this that will be broadcast live on your website, or will people have to be there physically to be able to partake
this
in the event?
This year we won't be broadcasting anything. To go, come and enjoy with us, we'll ask you to come and physically be here.
Okay. Now, so if someone is listening and is interested in being there, can you tell us how that can happen? What do they need to do? And maybe just
sure.
Give us a sense of where you're located and and we know that they need to arrive around 10. Is it a limited number of people that you can have there, or is it pretty much open?
Audrey, it's pretty much open to the public, but it would be good for people to register in advance. It's very helpful for us for organizing the parking situation, and they'll also find that they'll be able to get into the event quicker if they've registered in advance. The cost is the same, however, but those who have already got a pass will be able to pass through the gate more quickly. We have the event starts at 10:30 in the morning. That's Central Standard Time, so we're behind Atlanta by an hour, and it'll go till 7 p.m. People can arrive anytime throughout the day. The schedule is there on our worldpeaceday.org website, so people can kind of look at the events that are happening throughout the day and decide when they want what they want to participate in and when they'd like to come. We are about 2.5 hours or 3 hours up 75 North. It kind of depends if you're on the south side of the city or the north side of the city. I have myself lived in Atlanta in the past 9 years, and I know from Marietta it's actually a little under 2.5 to get here. You go up 75, and then you take the best way to come. Anybody can Google it, but the best way to come is to get on Highway 153 and 111, and that is an absolutely spectacularly beautiful drive, and it's the best way to find us.
Okay, wonderful. So, again, give us the website.
The website is worldpeaceday.org. That's .org.
Okay, and so we can check out all the events that will be posted that day. Let me ask you a question. I think I know the answer to it, but I want to ask it anyway. How important is it for the Isha Foundation and all of you to be involved in this global initiative of creating an intentional day of peace where we're all having that experience together around the world? How important is that for you? And I guess I should say, as an organization, and perhaps coming from your spiritual even looking at it from a personal perspective.
Okay. Of course, it's very integral to what we're doing, and it's actually a very natural extension for us to celebrate such a thing, because basically, It's very natural that one look within before and make transformation within themselves before we can make any kind of a global shift. So individual transformation is needed if you want to make community or global transformation. There is no world peace without individual peace. So yoga and meditation are fundamental tools for creating inner peace, inner well-being. And until people find tools and ways within themselves, shifting the whole culture, the whole global situation is not possible. So it's very integral to what we're doing, and Sadhguru will be speaking to that, to how we can create peace within ourselves and how peace within ourselves is the way to create peace within our communities.
Right. Saloni, I also wanted to ask you, of course, the same question. But I'd like to ask it from the standpoint of young people who can sometimes be a little impatient about the situations in the world and how we're moving through it. I think you also mentioned and be very creative about different approaches to getting to peace and so forth. So how important is this day to you and the commitment that you've made within your life studying inner peace and meditation?
Sure. So definitely the people, you know, the youth, are the future generations, right? We are the future humanity. So what we decide to, what we choose to prioritize in our time here as a youth will be our future. We'll be able to live it out as we get older. So as well as, you know, lead this as a, legacy for the future generations to come. And that's so important to me. I think that every young person should, if we don't realize, we should see how it's up to us how we want our futures to be and also what we want to leave behind as a legacy for others after us. So creating or taking a step at least towards this direction of creating world peace and making this world a place where we want to live, a place where we enjoy being, it's in our hands. It's our responsibility. So this World Peace Day celebration is a really great chance, an opportunity for us to come together, many minds, youthful as well as every age of mind, all these minds to come together with one priority as a goal, and that is to create world peace. And together, I think that we could think of something really wonderful and be able to live it out in this lifetime.
Wonderful. I wanted to ask both of you, do you know what you'll be doing at exactly 12 noon on that day, on Saturday?
Yes, actually, according to the current schedule of events, we will be having the students performing their Playing for Peace music pieces on stage.
Okay, wonderful. Well, we are reaching out to all groups that are doing activities for World Peace Day or the International Day of Peace and saying, right at 12 o'clock, if you can in your program, ring a chime or a bell or a gong, whatever that creates that vibration. We want to, at 12 o'clock in every time zone, have a unison, just a moment of striking a gong or a bell, or a chime that signifies a collective vibration of our efforts for peace. So if you have that opportunity in your program right at 12 noon, I'd like to invite you to join us in that.
Okay, we'll look into that.
Okay.
Thank you for inviting us.
All right, well, listen, we're coming to the end of the show, and I want to give each of you a moment to make a comment if you'd like to. As we are preparing now to close, I want to first of all say thank you so much to all the work that is being done through Isha Foundation. I am so intrigued and so excited about what I've read about what you're doing and listening to the two of you, that as things kind of slow down after this month, I'm hoping to be able to make a journey there and actually have the experience of your beautiful facility. And the peace that comes with the work that you're doing, and maybe take some classes. So I thank you so much for bringing this forward to the world so that, one, we could have a conversation, but, two, we could introduce you to our community and the communities that each person in our group touch. So thank you so much. So is there any closing comments you would like to make?
Yes, Audrey, I would like to say one thing, especially for your audience who is interested in public action. I think that they probably understand more than anybody that what an individual does makes a difference. But I've had many people say, oh, one day of peace, what's it really do, and things like that, especially with what's been happening, and they, you know, people feeling downtrodden by what they see around them. And one thing that I would just like to say is that it definitely makes a difference. It's not just about one day. If we, what Saloni was saying is true, if we set the proper intention and we create a vision together and just coming together in our common desire for peace, seeing that the bulk of humanity, that's what they actually want to live. Because we're not getting the same publicity, it doesn't mean we don't have power. And so creating that intention and vision and inspiring inspiration for peace, coming up with solutions will naturally happen. So this one day is very, very important because it brings awareness and it gives us an opportunity to educate in that direction. And it's very important that we recognize that it's not a small thing. One day can lead to the next day and the next day and the next day. So this is a start. And if we don't create that vision and we don't take conscious action towards it, we will never create it. So this is the way to move.
Allison, I couldn't have said it better myself. Thank you. That is so powerful and so true. We've been walking for 13 years, and people would always say, why are you walking this? There's never been peace. There's never going to be peace. But I tell you, there's certain things that we can see now 13 years from the beginning that when we first started weren't there. There is a shift that's happening in the consciousness of humanity, and I think it starts, as you said earlier, when each one of us starts to connect with that inner peace. It's contagious. So, Saloni, is there anything that you would like to say as we close?
You know what? I think Allison said it perfectly. I think we've covered really important, the most important part about this World Peace Day celebration.
Okay. Well, thank you both for being on Peace Talks on Now Time Radio. My love and all of my heart open to all of you there at Isha Foundation, and have a wonderful celebration this Saturday on World Peace Day. Thank you for being
a part. Okay, thank you, Audrey. And next year, mark us in your calendar.
I certainly will.
Okay.
Okay.
Bye-bye. Wonderful. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Audrey. Bye.
Awesome. You're welcome. Well, everyone, you've heard it. This Saturday is the International Day of Peace, also known as World Peace Day. Come out and join any activity in your community. They're happening all over the world. Join us as we tap that space within that reminds us of who we are, that we remember that as a collective body, peace not only is possible, it's inevitable. Thank you, and have a great week.